The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. Like last week, I have bad news and I have bad news. Which one do you want first?
The bad news.
The bad news, okay. First, I'd like everyone to raise your right hand. Okay, you can put them down. Shame on you. Shame on you. None of you listened to the gospel last week. Do you remember what it was? If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. I don't see any right hands cut off. See? And no right eyes, obviously, have been plucked out. Jesus is serious about what he says. Not that he wants us to pluck our eyes out or cut off our hands, but he wants us to be shocked by what he's saying. Because just like in last week's readings, the wiggle room that we have has been reduced. Again, in this readings, Jesus is getting rid of the wiggle room. He's getting rid of all of it. There's no way we can come up with an excuse for any kind of sin. Now, way, way back before there were laws that were either written down or passed on orally, if someone did something to you, there was no law that said you couldn't kill the person. There's no law against that. You had the right to do that. But then comes along the pagan king Hammurabi, who comes up with a law code, and that law code included an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And that was an advancement because it meant that if you poked out my eye, I could poke out your eye, but I couldn't do anything else to you. I couldn't kill you if you poked out my eye. So there's some limitation going on there. And then comes Moses and the Ten Commandments, and there's more limitations. So the law says to the Israelites, you cannot hate your brother or sister. Okay, so even among the pagans, you could hate your brother and sister, your neighbor. But now the Israelite law comes along and says, you cannot hate them. You must refrain from that. And we're told that we are to be holy because God is holy. So there's that reduction in our wiggle room. What is being taught to the people that they are holy? Well, the idea of holiness is this, that a holy person was one chosen by God and set apart by God to do the will of God, to be an example to the world. So holy people were made holy by God, being set apart and told, you obey this law, and this is how you're going to teach the nations. So we too are a holy people. We're being set aside to obey the will of God, not the wisdom of the age or the wisdom of the rulers of the age, but the wisdom of God. Now Jesus comes along and he restricts the wiggle room really completely. He says, obviously, no hating at all, whether it's your brother or your enemy, but rather he says, love your enemy. Love those who persecute you. Pray for them. This is radical. And it's still radical because the law of our land doesn't say you can't hate your enemy, but the law of God says, yes, we cannot hate our enemy. We must love them. And we must allow others to persecute us without wanting to strike back at them, without wanting to avenge ourselves. So if someone slaps us on one cheek, we're called to turn the other cheek. Now, we're not talking about just being there to be beaten up, no, but if we're persecuted and we're hated, we're called to accept it. Of course, who's the model for that? Jesus. Jesus did exactly that. He allowed people to slap him, crown him with thorns, nail him to the cross. So he's already giving us the model. And of course, it is about the cross. It is about suffering. It is about death. But Jesus sums it up this way: be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, we're never going to be perfect like God because God is uncreated, complete in himself. But we're called to keep trying to be more and more like God, who is perfect. So to keep on giving without counting the cost, to willingly suffer, to die for our faith, to be holy, to be perfect, and to live in the wisdom of God. And that's what Paul talks about in the second reading. He says, you and I are temples of God. Therefore, we are holy. There's that word again. We are holy. We are temples of God, set apart by God, to bear God out into the world, to be a blessing to the world, and to show the world that the wisdom of man and woman is foolishness, but the wisdom of God is true wisdom. And so the more we live that wisdom of God as a holy people, as a people trying to be perfect, as a people trying to be the temples of God that we're called to be, the more the world is going to notice what's going on in our lives. They're going to ask, why? Why do you do what you do? Why do you allow people to persecute you? And instead of striking back, seeking revenge, why do you forgive them? Why do you love them? Why do you let them persecute you? And so as they ask us those questions, then we'll be able to say why. We'll be able to say because it's all about God's wisdom. It's not the wisdom of the world that says, if someone does something to me, I'm going to get right back at them. I can do what I want. No, that's the wisdom of the world, but not the wisdom of the gospel. So we're called to be holy people. We're called to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. We're called to follow the wisdom of the world. We are temples of God, therefore we are holy. And so we're called to bear God in our actions and in our words and in our thoughts out in the world. And if we want change to happen in the world, we who are right now in this church being blessed by God's presence, we have to keep on focusing on the will of God, to do what God calls us to do, not to simply live a comfortable life and say, well, I've got mine and that's it, but rather, no, God, you have blessed me abundantly so that I can show your wisdom by giving of myself, giving of all that I have in order to praise and thank you. So again, as you go forth, remember, you are a holy people. You have been set apart. Set apart to do things differently than the world. You are called to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. It takes a lot of work, but as a community, hopefully that's what we're striving for. And remember that as you go forth, you are a temple of God, a holy temple of God, called to bear God in your lives to give witness to the wisdom of God, which is not the wisdom of the world. It's the wisdom of eternity, of our loving Savior, and to bear witness so that other people can see it and will want to know about it, come to join us and adopt that same wisdom that we have adopted and that we follow each and every day. So as you go forth, remember, you are that holy people called to make a difference in the world, to show the world that there is a God who loves us, who calls us to follow his wisdom, so that we can continue to grow in our holiness and continue to grow in our ability to be like God, who is perfect.